Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports with a dose of common sense, and hopefully we can make you smile at least somewhere along the line throughout the show. Hey, we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. Not sure if you realize this, but National Sock Day on December 4th recognizes the rarest of all lasting unities. Yes, the marriage of matched socks. When they manage, wash after wash, dry after dry, to keep finding each other through all the chaos, a celebration is definitely in order. So today, December 4th on National Sock Day, you are apparently supposed to wear some sort of special socks. I don't have any idea what any of this means. So if you've got a favorite pair of socks, make sure you throw those on before you go to work today, or before you go out to dinner tonight, or whatever you might be doing today. Make sure you have those special socks just in celebration of National Sock Day. Or, I don't know, maybe you sock someone in a hotel hallway like Kareem Hunt did. Oh! I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying that might be how you choose to celebrate. Now, not only did Kareem Hunt sock some female in that video, from what I can tell, he socked it pretty hard to a ton of fantasy football owners, too. Had a lot of people not very happy with Kareem Hunt over the weekend. Either way, enjoy your National Sock Day today. Now, if you'd like to contact us, let us know exactly how you plan on celebrating National Sock Day. And I'm telling you right now, I'm warning you ahead, Daily Dose listener, I am not going to support you if you go all Kareem Hunt on us. But we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. And hey, maybe you are looking to finish up a little holiday shopping on your Tuesday, on your National Sock Day. Make sure you go by tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, and pick up some Daily Dose gear for that hard-to-shop-for person on your list. We've got hoodies, we've got t-shirts, coffee mugs, laptop cases, stickers, you name it, they have it over at tpublic.com, and it is all very fine Daily Dose gear that you will find over there. Hey, today on the show, we are actually going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show and a longtime friend of mine. High school basketball coach Russ McKinstry is going to stop by and discuss basically all things sports. You know, the great thing about Coach Mack is that he coached basketball for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, whatever, but he is just a huge sports fan in general. So he can discuss pretty much any sporting event that we want to discuss. And when we were coaching together, we would go into practice and we'd be running drills or scrimmaging or whatever we might be doing. And in between these things, I'd be leaning over to him and I'd be asking him very similar questions to what you're going to hear me asking today. The only difference is now you get to listen in on his answers. So we will be getting to Coach Mack in just 1 minute. Before that, though, we do have a little bit of news to discuss in the world of sports. So maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what? I would love to be an NFL coach. I think if they just plugged me into a spot, I think I could totally do it. I'm not sure if you've seen my skills on Madden, but I'm pretty tremendous on that game. I believe I could be an NFL coach. Yeah, well, you might not want that job. Not sure if you saw this little gem in the NFL, but Carolina Panthers head coach Ron Rivera announced yesterday that he is taking over defensive play calling in a staff shakeup that included firing his defensive line coach Brady Hoke and his secondary coach Jeff Imamura. The changes came less than 24 hours after the Panthers lost their fourth straight game, losing 24-17 at Tampa Bay. That puts them even deeper in the hole for an NFC wildcard spot. And Rivera had taken over play calling for the defense on Sunday, even though he didn't fire his defensive coordinator, Eric Washington, who continues to coach the defensive line. But the Panthers have struggled all year to create pressure on the quarterback this season. However, with Rivera calling the defensive plays on Sunday, they had 4 sacks and 8 tackles for loss. So you know Rivera's looking at things and saying, hey, they just needed to turn over all the duties to me and we'd be just fine. I was just carrying these morons around me. And that might be true. That could totally be true. But do not forget, the Panthers, of course, lost again to the last place team in their division. And here's the thing. Hoke and Imamura, they weren't the ones who went for 2 at the end of that Detroit game. That was Riverboat Ron. But who got fired? Not him. Not yet. And that is what all of these moves to his coaching staff are telling me. Ron Rivera knows the bell is tolling for him, and he's trying to do anything he possibly can to save his own skin. The NFL, you think you want to go there, but I'm telling you right now, it is brutal and it is cutthroat. Ron Rivera threw his own guys under the bus to save himself. The NFL is brutal, no question about that. You know, in the NBA, got a little bit of news yesterday. The Chicago Bulls have fired head coach Fred Hoiberg after a 5-19 start to this season. Now, associate head coach Jim Boylan will be promoted to head coach, and they're saying they won't even put the interim tag on him. He's just the new head coach. But you know, Hoiberg was named the Bulls head coach back in 2015 after spending 5 seasons as head coach at Iowa State. During his time in Chicago, he has coached this team to a record of 115 and 155. And the Bulls have now lost 6 consecutive games and 10 of their past 11. Now, I understand the narrative going on about the Chicago Bulls firing their head coach and firing Fred Hoiberg is going to focus on how bad Hoiberg has been, how he has been unable to bring that fast-paced offense he had at Iowa State to the Chicago Bulls. But here's something crazy I want you to think about. How long ago were Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson with the Chicago Bulls? The final year they were there was what, 98? So 20 years ago, right? How many coaches would you say that the Bulls have had since Phil Jackson? Let's see. I know they had Vinny Del Negro, that's 1. Hoiberg, that's 2. We all remember Tom Thibodeau, that's 3. I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple, so let's say 5 or 6? No, not so much. Jim Boylan will be the 10th head coach that the Chicago Bulls have had since Phil Jackson. So basically, they are averaging a new head coach every 2 seasons. Hey, you can continue to blame the head coach all you want, but every 2 years? The franchise is clearly rotten from within. You can change whatever you want until you reorganize that front office. The Bulls are kidding themselves. I don't care who you go get. And maybe Boylan comes in, and maybe he shakes things up, and he wins a few more games. But you can tell. The Bulls are rotten. They need to fix some other things. Until then, they'll just keep blaming the head coach. They'll keep having the same results and not quite winning the games they wish they were winning. But they need some changes up front. They are clearly not getting the personnel that they need. Finally, let's move over to college football because we have a little bit of delusional news going on over in college football with the Pac-12 once again being left out of the college football playoff for the 2nd year in a row, mind you. Washington State Athletic Director Pat Chun believes he knows why the Pac-12 keeps getting left behind. Here's what Chun had to say. We can easily infer that where we're ranked is a result of maybe the perception of the league. We're very disappointed with where we ended up being ranked. We believe as a 10-win team in a Power 5 league, the manner in which our 2 losses came, statistically, how we match up with other teams in the same cluster as us, we believed our resume ranked perhaps higher than where the committee thought it was. But they are empowered to make those decisions. We'll respect those decisions. Hey, to be fair to Pat Chun, Washington State did win 10 games, right? They have just 2 losses. So maybe there is something to what Pat Chun is saying here. I mean, let's look a little bit closer at Washington State, okay? Let's see. Who did they play in their non-conference schedule? Because a lot of times, you can take a look at a team and you say, hey, look at this non-conference schedule. It was a lot beefier than maybe people thought it was. Let's take a look at who the Cougars played in their non-conference schedule. Let's see. Wyoming, San Jose State, and Eastern Washington. Huh. Well, I mean, so far that doesn't sound like Pac-12 bias. I mean, that sounds like you played a really crappy non-conference schedule, and so the committee is looking at your crappy non-conference schedule and saying, yeah, you didn't play anyone. What do you want from us? Okay, so maybe we don't want to look at the non-conference schedule. Let's look at something else. Who did they actually lose to? Because if they went out and they lost against the best of the best, then maybe there is some Pac-12 bias there. So let's see. Washington State only had 2 losses. Let's see. They lost to 3-loss Washington, again, for like the 6th time in a row. And then you lost to 7-loss Southern California. Hey, Pat John, you can spin Pac-12 bias if you want to, or you could go ahead and do this. You could take a long look in the mirror and realize you didn't play anyone, and you still, with that soft schedule, managed to lose twice. Way to be a collegiate administrator and deflect blame instead of saying, hey, you know what? That's on us. We've got to do a better job next year. So glad to see these adults leading our kids. It's really, really good stuff sometimes. Hey, coming back, we need to get to someone who actually does know how to lead kids and actually does know how to teach kids the correct things. Coming back, we're going to sit down and talk sports with longtime basketball coach and high school administrator Russ McKinstry. We have a lot of sports to cover with him today. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, and now we are officially into that silly season where you've got to do all of that holiday shopping, maybe you have someone on your list that you're not exactly sure what to get, you need to make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Scavenge. What you build depends on what you can scavenge. We've searched through the rubble. We've made some fortunate finds, from the fantastic to the downright alien. So get ready for a collection of seriously cool exclusive gear. December's Loot Crate theme features items from Transformers Bumblebee, Dungeons & Dragons, Escape from New York, and Fallout. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate and you can choose from a huge selection of crates, or you can just go over there and find individual items, and they have just about any franchise you can possibly think of over there. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure that you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose every day. So don't worry about what to get that difficult person on your holiday shopping list. Just make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com first. Joining us right now, a great friend of the Daily Dose, a guy that taught me a ton about coaching, about basketball, about sports just in general. So again, we probably have to blame him for a good amount of the nonsense you hear on this show every day. Russ McKinstry has coached high school basketball in Colorado, Kansas, and Arizona. In his career, he has won over 400 games. He won back-to-back state titles, has sent a number of players to the collegiate and professional levels. Coach Mack, thank you so much for joining us today on the Daily Dose. We always enjoy your visits.
Mr. Daly, it's an honor and pleasure, and I hope you're doing well. Happy Thanksgiving, belated Thanksgiving, and happy holidays, and I'm really excited to be a part of the show today.
Oh, we always love having you here. First off, Coach, it is that time of year. It is the start of high school hoops. Games are getting rolling. Are you missing coaching high school basketball right now?
Well, that's a pertinent question. In fact, I was out at some games yesterday, went to a couple tournament games, and there are moments where I really miss coaching and being around the kids. But there are also times where, like last night, I watched some pretty average high school basketball and went home and didn't have to stay up all night breaking down film or thinking about a win or loss or having to deal with complaints from kids and parents. So it's a nice balancing act where some days I miss it, but there are other times where I just enjoy my freedom to go about and do other things besides basketball.
Well, and that's funny that you said that, because my very next question was going to be, what don't you miss about coaching? And I guess that's some of those things.
Yeah, and parents really are. The majority of parents are wonderful, and it's time to build relationships with them, and it's usually very positive. But there's usually, as you know, because you coached a long time too, there's usually two or three families that can make your life very miserable at the high school level. And I don't miss that part, because that can wear on you and cause you a lot of unnecessary stress, because really all you're trying to do is help kids be successful and move on with their lives and be productive citizens. And really all you want is what's best for those kids. But sometimes those parents think you're on a entirely different agenda, and those discrepancies can cause a lot of problems. But all in all, it's an excellent way to make a living and help kids. And I really do truly miss it.
You know, Coach, one of the things that I was thinking about when I was going to ask you that question, as far as things that I don't miss, and I know one thing that you don't miss, that stinking cut day we had to do every year where you had to go crush a kid's hopes and dreams and tell him, yeah, you weren't quite good enough to make this team. Sorry.
No, that is absolutely the worst day. You know, I would much prefer going through three or four root canals at my dentist office than having to face kids and tell them that they're not going to be part of your program because, you know, their expectations and their dreams and hopes, you know, all of a sudden are gone. So what I always try to do, and I know you were the same way, is you try and give them an opportunity to find the same opportunity, but maybe it's in a rec league or a club program. So you take one opportunity away from them, but hopefully if you're a good coach, you have another alternative way for that kid to keep his dreams alive and make sure that he understands that it's not the end of the road, that there's still plenty of basketball to be played if he really wants to.
And that's an excellent point, because if your kid is getting cut, there are other things you can do. There are other places you can go. Coach, I've got a ton of things I want to talk with you about today. Got college football rolling along, finishing up. We've got the NFL rolling along. NBA is now underway, and we haven't really gotten into a lot of NBA quite yet on the Daily Dose. We wanted to talk some of that with you today. And of course, College Hoops, I think, is going to be a very, very interesting season this year. If you are up to the challenge, I've got a ton of things for you today.
Bring it on, and let's see what kind of ignorance we can spread.
I love doing that every single day. Let's talk.
And you are the master of it, so let's do it.
let's talk some college football. The season is winding down. We know conference championships all up in the air this past weekend. Here's a question that I have for you, though. Would you be in favor of an 8-team playoff as opposed to the 4 that we have right now?
Oh, man. In fact, I thought about that question last night, Dells. It makes me so angry that it's not that way. I just think the, you know, whittling it down to the 4 supposed best teams is just not the best way to approach the college football format. So, yes, in fact, I would. You could almost convince me to make it a 16-team field, but I definitely would go for sure for the 8-team bracket.
Well, and my biggest thing is let's eliminate these conference championships. And I understand they had their place when they were originally constructed. You had a reason to try to get a conference winner because they were just taking the top 2 teams and saying, okay, there's a championship game. So I got it at the time, but they're so outdated now. If on Saturday, instead of playing those goofy conference titles, we were playing the first round of a playoff, I don't know, it just seems like it would make so much more sense than what we're doing.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It makes so much more sense. And, you know, as we talked about earlier off air, we talked about the Washington-Utah game last night, the first real conference championship game, and the vibe, the excitement around that game, there was absolutely none. The stadium was half full at best. Teams did not look like they're very energized, very excited to be there. So if you put a little bit more skin in the game and had that be the first round of an 18 bracket, you would have packed stadiums and it would be an entirely different experience for everybody. So yeah, it makes way too much sense not to do it that way, especially now with, you know, the fact that Oklahoma, Ohio State, you know, are at risk of not making it. And they should have a legitimate shot to win a national championship. But you know, if things don't go their way today and they're not included in the 4-team playoffs, then you have, you know, not only them, but a couple other teams that really do deserve the chance to play through a bracket system for a national championship.
Well, and we do, it seems like, have a underdog team. We've had it with Central Florida the last couple of years, but we've had teams like that in the past. We remember, you know, a team like Tulane, even the team like Auburn the year that they didn't get to play for it. It always seems like there's one kind of team that just kind of gets left out. And I think a bigger playoff would allow for those teams to actually get in and get to play a little bit, which I would love to see. Now, we've got to talk about a little bit more local college football, which is always difficult to do. But it looks like the Colorado Buffaloes are going to hire University of Georgia defensive coordinator Mel Tucker to be their new head coach. Hey, I know nothing about Mel Tucker whatsoever. Georgia's defense looks pretty good to me, but I like the hire because I was really, really worried. Colorado was going to go out and try to say, hey, let's get Bill McCartney to come back or Rick Neuheisel to come back or some goofy thing. The fact that they went and did some homework tells me maybe they're, I don't know, trying?
No, yeah, I heard the same news this morning, and I'm like you, I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about Mel Tucker. I did look at his bio online, and boy, it sure looks impressive, and it looks like the type of man that will come in and do a great job for CU. And as you know, it's it's the lifeline, the lifeblood of any program is recruiting. That's where he, you know, he makes or breaks his chance to be successful at CU, and especially at CU. But, you know, looking at who he is and what he represents, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm like you, I'm so glad they didn't go after the retread or the typical coach that has some sort of CU tie, thinking that's the answer, you know, like bringing in Eric Bieniemy or, you know, like I said, a Jim Leavitt from Oregon, who's there earlier as an assistant coach. I mean, that is the easy route to take.
Absolutely.
But not the best route. So, yeah, I think I'm excited. And, you know, I give McIntyre credit. I really do think that, especially in the skill position slots, he really upgraded the program. But now you got to have somebody that can come in and really develop a better defense and develop the offensive and defensive lines to get some studs there. And if you can get those type of horses to go along with what they have at the skill levels, you might actually have a team that competes at a high level in the Pac-12.
Well, and you look at the Pac-12, especially this year, and I know that it's not going to stay this way. The Pac-12 was down this year significantly, and Colorado still couldn't do anything with it. So yeah, you're exactly right. McIntyre at least made Colorado somewhat relevant for a couple of minutes, but couldn't ever get them over the hump. And I'm like you, I believe it is all up front. It is the offensive and defensive lines that we know when Colorado was a big dog, that's where they were the best at.
Yeah, I mean, you know, actually, you know, going back to McCartney and the national championship days, which is, you know, easy to get bogged down in looking backwards, which we none of us want to do. But yeah, the difference in the type of linemen that they are getting compared to back when they were, even in the early 2000s, Barry Barnett, there's a significant discrepancy in the type of talent they're getting up front. That is where they've got to solve the problems. Otherwise, you can forget about, you know, they're always going to be mediocre at best.
Do you think that's what is keeping just the state of Colorado in general from being good in college football? Is it just the geography? We can't get those kind of studs to come here?
Well, as you know, having been in high school athletics for 30-plus years, Colorado just does not generate a whole lot of 6'6", 310-pound type skilled linemen, you know, and those are the type of kids that you have to get into, you know, to build a truly successful football program. And unfortunately, what has happened is the coaches that we do have, they can't, for whatever reason, they can't get the few kids that we do have that meet that profile to stay in state. You know, they end up going to Nebraska, they end up going to Alabama, or, you know, one of the major Power Five teams, colleges. So, Mel Tucker, that, you know, it's, again, recruiting is your lifeline, but you better be able to keep the best that we have here in the state. And we do. We do have maybe 4 to 8 of those type of kids. But really, as you notice the pattern, we're only getting to keep maybe one kid out of those 8 in state to come to CU. So if you can get 3 or 4 of them, then you can start to make progress towards that higher level, I think.
Yeah, I do too. And I am hoping that is the direction this program is now going in. It just feels like maybe, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, maybe the University of Colorado is starting to care a tiny bit about athletics. We haven't seen that for a number of years.
No, you know, and I'll give Rick George, the AD, their credit. I really, really do believe that he has been a very positive influence in that mindset, you know, with the facility upgrades, you know, the ability to, you know, self-reflect on what CU is and say, hey, you know, Mike McIntyre is a solid coach, but he's not going to take us where we want to go, and have the, you know, gumption to fire someone like that in order to make a better program. That is a very positive sign for me, because it's very easy at CU to fall back on the, hey, we're just the academic school and, you know, come out here and ski and snowboard and you're close to Denver. It's a great experience. We'll compete, but we're never going to really aspire to be top level. I think Rick George has changed that. So, you know, no AD is perfect, but I do like that mindset that he brings to CU.
Coach, speaking of geography, we have just one team in the top 10 west of the Mississippi, and that is Oklahoma. What in the world has happened to football out west? Is this just a cyclical thing? Why don't we have decent football in the college ranks on the western side of the states?
That's a great question. And, you know, I think if you look at the global view of football, it's just a sport in transition and in flux. And, you know, with the CTE and the concussion situations that are now very visible and very, you know, on people's minds about, do I want my kid to play football even anymore,
yeah.
You know? So I think then it boils down to population and geography. So, you know, with sparse population or smaller population base out here, and you see football numbers declining. So I just think it's a numbers game more than anything, that, you know, we're just not having nearly as many kids compete in football as we used to. Plus, you know, they're transitioning to other sports possibly. And so maybe the soccer and some of those other sports are gaining some ground in the West, where football seems to be losing it, unless you're, you know, in California, you know, where you have that population base, or Texas, you know, and that's where Oklahoma gets their players from, is Texas. So, you know, I just think there's probably not one single answer, but I think that might be a potential problem that we're facing out here.
Well, I think you made some very, very good points there, because we're definitely seeing a change, and I don't know what the change is. And like I said, maybe it's just cyclical, but maybe we're starting to see some of these parents start to pull off and say, I don't know if I'm going to put my kid in that sport. Final college football question. Got to ask, can anyone knock off Alabama this year in a playoff? I don't know if I can see that happening.
Shouldn't happen, Dales. I don't see it happening. But I also thought New Orleans would go in and smack Dallas around.
Yep.
And it'd be a no-brainer there. So you're still talking about human beings. You're talking about, you know, a lot of teenage, semi-adult kids that you never know what the heck's going on, you know, outside of the locker room and the football field. That can play into it. But the depth of Alabama, you know, and the talent at the skill positions and the size and athleticism, you know, up front, man, you know, Clemson, maybe, but I think 9 out of 10 times Alabama's going to beat anybody in this country. So you'd have to catch them on a bad day, which is possible, you know.
Well,
could, but unlikely.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you, because you look at them and you've always thought, what if their offense has a bad day? Well, they've got that defense. And now you look at their defense and say, what if their defense has that bad day? And you go, yeah, but Tua Tagovailoa might just be good enough to overcome that too.
Yeah, they have some really special players and obviously a special culture and mindset that has been established there by Coach Saban. And, you know, it's a machine. It's a factory. And, you know, I don't like them. I don't, you know, I always root for them to get beat. But I'll tell you, I respect the heck out of them, just like back in the day when I was growing up and Tom Osborne and Coach Devaney at Nebraska had their machine rolling. I absolutely hated them. But boy, did I like watching them play, because it was very impressive. And that's kind of where I feel about Alabama.
Could you have had programs that you coached that were rolling like that, that were winning titles or contending for titles every single year? How in the world is Nick Saban able to keep his kids hungry, his coaching staff hungry, keep that kind of, hey, we're not the hunted, we are still the hunters every single year? I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I think he's a master, and the great coaches are. And they're a master of, they don't worry about the opponent, and it's not about the scoreboard. It's about the standards and expectations that you have for your kids and the way they should play each game, so that, you know, they're never, ever really competing against their opponent. They're competing against themselves and each other. And I think when you have that established in your program, where, you know, you're holding each other accountable because you want to play better than your buddy who's next to you, you know, or, you know, who's backing you up. And so you have that inner motivation that goes way beyond a scoreboard and rankings and all conference, all American honors. It's, you know, how good can I really be? And I think that he's a master of getting his players to think that way. And then obviously he recruits the best talent in the country. So the combination of that is just, you know, lethal for other programs. It's almost not fair.
Well, it isn't, because he's just tearing through everybody. And I think that there's going to come a time, we kind of have started to do it now, there is going to come a time we look back at this era and just go, what in the world was going on? How was anybody able to win that much? It's just absolutely insane what Nick Saban and Alabama are doing in this era. Hey, we still have a number of things to cover with Coach Mack. You know, I want to shift over with him and move to the NFL. Who does he like in the NFL? Who does he like in the AFC? Who does he like in the NFC? What does he think of that whole Kareem Hunt situation? Plus, we haven't even got to basketball yet. I know that we haven't done our NBA preview and our college basketball preview, but we still have a lot of hoops to talk with Coach Mack, because he has spent most of his adult life coaching that sport. So I definitely needed to get some thoughts from him. in pro basketball and the collegiate game. Tomorrow, we will continue our conversation with Russ McKinstry. Always good to have him stop by. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that message us, thank you so much. It is genuinely appreciated. Make sure you knock out that holiday shopping by stopping by tpublic.com and picking up some Daily Dose gear for the Daily Dose listener in your life. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.